Just coming up to 10:30, Phoenix FM. Alan Johnson with you and the Feel Good Saturday. And if you're a regular listener to the programme, you're probably aware of the work of a small but very dedicated group of people locally who each year help make a real difference to the lives of children from Eastern Europe who are still living with the effects of the 1986 Chernobyl disaster. They are the Chernobyl Children's Lifeline, and I'm joined from the Essex Link by activity and hosting coordinator Gaina Manthorpe, along with her husband Alistair. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Did I get your title right there, Gaina?
Sort of, yes.
You're not really big on titles in the organisation. It's the work that you do, isn't it? Now, listen, you're here to talk about the holiday that you're planning later on in the year, and to appeal for some host families. We will talk about that in just a moment, but I'm really keen to hear from this trip to Ukraine. You went, about a month ago?
That's correct, yes.
And this was quite an eye-opener for you.
It was quite an eye-opener to see some of the conditions the children live in,
We're having a few disasters in the studio here.
To see some of the conditions the children live in, and their lifestyle and what they have to put up with. And it's something that's really out of the control of some of them. So it was quite an eye-opener to us, and also to the interpreter who came with the children this year. She was very shocked as well.
Alistair, just take us back. Why did you go in the first place?
I think we wanted a sort of second look at the conditions there. We travelled 5 years ago. 5 years ago, and it was this time around, it was a lot different. We were more into the homes of the children that travelled in 2016 and previous years as well, and it really was an eye-opener. Certainly some of the living conditions there would not be tolerated in Britain. They don't have a social state as we have in Britain. And quite frankly, some of the accommodation would have been bulldozed in Britain and not allowed to be used.
So the reason you went was, as you say, you'd been before a few years before, but every year you're very much involved with the holidays, which do make a difference to the lives of the children from that area and also from Belarus as well. But you wanted to update yourselves on exactly why you're doing this and to see life from the other side, to see everyday life for the children.
Yes, you can watch videos, and people can tell you about the conditions, but until you actually go there and experience it for yourself, I think it was a real eye-opener. I was quite shocked. I was quite humbled as well to see the conditions these people were living in, but still welcoming us. The parents of the children that have travelled 2016 and previous years were very, very grateful. That was very evident. So it was really a question of reinforcing the reasons why we continue with our work, which we've done for the last 10 years.
Gaina, give us an example of the sorts of things that Alistair's talking about there with the living conditions.
The worst one we saw, the house was very tiny. As we walked in, the smell of hit you, and it was evident that there was no running water. Outside was the toilet, outside in the snow, because it snowed while we were there, so it was minus 11. And that was just a square wooden box, really. And a few yards from that was another three-sided box with some plastic in front of it with a water container on top. That was the outside shower, which, of course, would not be used in the winter. Inside the house, it was three rooms, no doors, no internal doors, so no privacy. The boy that we hosted 2 years ago, he shared a bedroom, for want of a better word, with his sister, who had a very small single bed, but he slept in an armchair. And when we had a cup of tea and grandmother, who was looking after the children, had bought a cake, it was very evident from the hands that came out very quickly that there's very little food in the house.
That's absolutely unbelievable.
It was not a pleasant experience.
I mean, that almost sounds like, if you compare that with this country, going back to sort of the Victorian era, the late 19th century perhaps, conditions here would have been better than that.
Yes, I think so.
That is absolutely amazing. Now, Chernobyl Children's Lifeline, we talk about the effects, you know, more than 30 years later of the contamination, the pollution, the effect on obviously agriculture and the economic effect. But is this, you know, is this simply poverty that is still sort of resulting from that, or is it a bigger issue? And I mean, do you have any sort of theories on why, I suppose?
I suppose it is still resulting from that, but there are other issues that have resulted from that as well. Parents are not necessarily evident. A lot of the children are looked after by grandparents, grandmother usually. Alcoholism is still a problem.
So it's social and cultural things as
well. Social things as well, yes.
And are you aware, Alistair, of anybody doing anything to try and sort of change things and improve that situation? Because it's a perpetuating cycle, isn't it? The children, obviously the parents of today were, you know, were children themselves 20 years ago, and the children of today, they're going to be growing up and presumably just keeping that cycle going.
Yes, indeed. There is a child development centre in Borodyanka, the town we visited, and they are helping with the children, helping with the families, not only with the actual children themselves, but they deal with adults there. Poverty generates problems like drug addiction, prostitution, crime. They're managing the situation. It's not improving, they are managing it. And of course, so many outside factors are evident there. We forget, of course, that in Ukraine there is a war being waged in the east.
Mm.
And
that's the other side of the country, isn't it? It's quite a big country, isn't it, Ukraine?
It's a very, very big country. We did ask the question, or I asked the question of some of the adults there through the interpreter, what are they fighting about? What is the war about? And the answer came back very quickly, well, if you find the answer, could you please let us know?
Mm.
But nobody is actually too sure why the war is being fought. But of course, that has an impact on the country as a whole.
So a pretty desperate situation.
It is indeed,
a
yes.
A desperate situation all around. Gainer, you went, was it 5 years ago?
We did, yes.
Was that to Borodyanka as well?
That was the same, yes.
So how did it compare?
Things hadn't really moved on a great deal. But as Alistair said, last time we went and we sort of had an overall view, but this time we were invited into the houses. And I think that's where it became more evident of all the situations, because last time we only went to two houses of the two children we hosted. But this year, all the children, we met all the children who came in the summer, and there was sort of a bit of a competition as to whose house we were going to go to. So for 8 days we went to different houses for lunch and dinner.
And one thing that you alluded to earlier was despite all the poverty and all the problems, how welcoming and lovely the people are. And I know that, having met the children when they've been over as well.
Yes, they certainly put on a very nice spread, probably more than they could afford, to show their appreciation, really. And it was lovely.
It's absolutely heartbreaking, isn't it?
Mm.
Look, you've got the holiday coming up in June, which is a very positive thing, and it's why you do all of this, to just help some of the children. You can do what you can. Looking forward to hearing about that. I know that you do need people's help with that. 20 to 11, it's Saturday morning and the Feel Good Saturday with Alan Johnson, chatting to Gainer Manthorpe and Alistair Manthorpe from the Essex link of Chernobyl Children's Lifeline, talking about some of the horrendous living conditions, real poverty and social conditions affected by alcoholism and all sorts of other things, the political situation as well in Ukraine, following a trip there very recently to Borodyanka. Now, trying to sort of look at this from a positive point of view, and actually what can be done and what you're doing and what people listening maybe can do as well. Every year you have the holiday. This is a dozen children that you bring over from either Ukraine or Belarus, isn't it?
For, yes.
For a whole month. Tell us about this year's holiday, Alistair.
Well, it'll be a repeat. That doesn't sound too boring. But it will be a repeat from last year's programme, which was very, very successful. We did ask the children when we were over in Ukraine this year what sort of things they enjoyed, they liked, and so we get a sort of feel for that. And then Gaynor plans all the projects that happen during that month.
Because it's a month long of activities, isn't it? Just
yeah.
Fun things to do, and also health related things as well, I know.
A very full month. Yes, it starts, not the best thing when you start in a country. They arrive.
Trip to the dentist.
Dentist.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be that.
Dentist, and then the optician. Optician, not too bad. but dentist, and this 2016, there was quite a few extractions and fillings. They don't have the health system that we have in Britain, so that's the first treat they have. Opticians, not too bad actually. I think maybe one child needed glasses, but it's just a sort of health check. So that's the start of the month, and then from then on in, it's fun all the way.
And it really does make a difference to the lives of the children, doesn't it? You're in touch with quite a few of the children from past years, aren't you?
We are in touch with them, yes. And they still talk about how much they remember it. And they have the photos, they have DVDs to remember it by.
Your trip this year, or your recent trip last month, was to Ukraine. It's actually Belarus this year that the children
it are is. We
from.
Alternate 1 year Ukraine, 1 year Belarus.
But I guess it's a very sort of similar situation economically, and again, you know, going back to where this all started, the 1986 nuclear power plant disaster, living with the effects of that, the contamination.
They are, because when the reactor exploded, the wind took it up over Belarus as well as Ukraine, so they're affected just as bad. And conditions out there are poor. We are in touch with the interpreter we had last year from Belarus, and she just says it's just not good there.
Mm. Now, you are quite a small but dedicated group in the Essex Link, as I was saying, and you do need people's help. You need volunteers to host some of the children.
We do. We need two host families to host children, two children at a time for a month, which sounds a long time, but I can assure you, although it's very tiring initially, it's great fun. The children are involved in activities during the day, so it's really a case of giving them breakfast, bringing them to Billericay, collecting them from Billericay any time from 4:30 onwards, and you have them for the evening, and you have them three out of five weekends. One weekend they'll spend part of it camping, so there is time to have the children with you, but also you have your time free during the day.
Is it something, Alistair, that would perhaps suit maybe a retired couple who've got time on their hands, you know, flexibility to get them to and from Billericay, or a family themselves with children?
Well, it suits both, really. Yes, you're right. It would suit retired people in the fact they haven't got the sort of ties of children, but it also suits families as well, and families can benefit. Certainly, if you have two children in the house with other children, they just interact together. Mm. It's great fun. As Gaynor said, it is so rewarding. Mm. People say, what do you get from it? We've been doing it nearly 10 years now, and we've hosted, I think, 8 years. Yes, at the end of the month, we think, oh, look at that. They've gone back now. And then within 2 or 3 weeks, we're thinking, oh, we're planning next year because we miss them. So you get a lot from it.
Mm. And the children are what, sort of between 10 and 12, that sort of age?
We ask for children between 10 and 12 years old.
Boys or girls?
Six girls, six. Oh, we're looking for a host family for two boys and two girls.
Right, okay.
So it's quite an even spread.
And do just give us the dates. That's rather important.
The children arrive on June the 11th.
Right.
And they leave on July the 9th.
And you do need to be able to commit the whole month, don't you?
You?
Because obviously
do
the children don't want to be unsettled by moving around. So
no.
It does have to be. It is a commitment, this, but it is so worthwhile. And sort of hearing the experiences of the sort of conditions that the children might be living in Belarus, it really does bring home to you how worthwhile this is. So if you can help, or if you know somebody you think just might be able to help out with this, do give it some very, very serious thought. And how can people get in touch if they just want to talk about this?
They want to talk about it, they can call me, and our phone number is 01245 328 235, and I can talk to them about it, and we can show them DVD from last year so they can see what the children do. And we can show them our own personal pictures, see what their life is like where they live,
and talk from personal experience as to what it's like to look after the children, and also what you get out. I know you don't do this because of getting reward out of it yourself, but you know, that is a byproduct of it, isn't it? Gaynor, Alistair, it's always a pleasure to see you. Just quickly, anything coming up? You've got a quiz coming up, but
we have a quiz coming up in March.
You're fully
at Herongate. So we need. Obviously, we haven't started to publicise it yet.
Right,
so
okay.
That's going to come. But if anybody is interested in that, I can't remember the date offhand. I think it's the 18th of March at St Nicholas Church Hall. Obviously, the same phone number. You can contact me, and that is £6 a ticket. And you just bring your own food and nibbles, drinks, and we do the rest.
Because it does cost quite a lot, doesn't it? It's the visas that are a big part of the cost of bringing the children
The
over.
Visas are about £100 a child, but we have to cover the whole cost of the month, and that costs the group around £9,000. So flights, visas, food while they're here, all their activities, etc., hire of a minibus, it all adds up.
Yeah, look, it's been absolutely tremendous to see you again. Do pop back again nearer the time to... I'll try and get along to the... Because you're going to have the barbecue, aren't you, when the children
arrive?
We'll
have the barbecue.
I shall do my best to get along to that and do something for the show as well. To be great to meet some of the children. Gaynor, Alistair, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Phoenix FM.